Welcome.
Ray and Tay today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay today, talking
sports. Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Razor.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to call in? Because this is a busy show. Give us a ring. 718-664-9098. Like always, your emails, and they're coming in too, at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. The website is rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us. Hit us on Facebook. Ray, I might not be understating this. This might be the worst week in sports history. It is going crazy. Every sport, every situation. Give us the breaking news, hot off the presses. What's happening with the Minnesota Vikings and Adrian Peterson?
So Adrian Peterson was indicted in Texas by a grand jury on charges of reckless or negligent injury to a child. And apparently the Houston radio station is saying that his attorney confirmed this and the Minnesota Vikings are collecting facts. And yeah, who knows, because Adrian Peterson's been in this situation for the last couple of years, right? His two-year-old son died in South Dakota after being assaulted by a man that was claiming to be the boyfriend. So I don't know what's going on here.
I'm in shock. And what's so funny, I guess without the details, you don't know if it's a child like a child or a child like 16-year-old girl, and maybe there's something else. You know, like I don't know. I mean, we've got so much going on. We've got Ray Rice, Roger Goodell, Greg Hardy, who, you know, with all that being sort of thrown out, was already found guilty and just waiting for the appeal, and the Panthers not doing anything. It sounded so bad. The 911 call from the neighbor was like, get here immediately before this girl gets killed. I don't know if Greg Hardy should be playing for the Panthers.
Well, and it keeps going. I mean, you talk about Danny Ferry. I mean, it's all different levels, right?
Yeah, but
Ferry
it's just...
now is taking a leave of absence.
Okay, he did take a leave of absence because, you know, he rejected to meet with civil rights leaders when they came to meet with him, and they thought they were going to meet with him. Adam Silver is like, he's not going to be fired for this. But to me, where people thought at first before the recording came out that maybe he was reading a scouting report, he wasn't reading this. This was like his interpretation or his views or opinions himself. I think what Danny Ferry did, remember, Donald Sterling, it was attacking Magic, and he had all this history and stuff like that, but it wasn't like at work. This is at home with a girlfriend. Danny Ferry was doing his job making these statements. So
yeah.
The
hit parade continues. You've got Chris Davis from baseball.
Which
jumps to all the sports, right? 25 games. Yeah. So here's a guy who burst on the scene. He was an up and coming player for the Texas Rangers, and he got traded to Baltimore, and then he just burst on the scene, and now he gets busted for PEDs. So 25 games, I guess it's the first offense. I thought the first offense was supposed to be 50 games. So I guess they have different levels for different types of drugs.
Yeah, I don't know. That's bizarre to me as well. But basically, he would miss the 17 games now and then the next, eight in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that could be going into the second round of the playoffs if Baltimore makes it and they're going to win that division. So
yeah. And
Ray,
it gets even worse. Wait, keep going. It gets even worse.
Oscar.
And then Oscar Pistorius found guilty of culpable homicide, whatever that means, in the
Not murder, though.
Culpable homicide, yeah.
Yeah, he's not guilty of murder. But what's weird, did you hear what – okay, it's not a jury, it's a judge. But the judge has the option of basically going from 15 years all the way down to a fine and like some community service, big spectrum. I mean, we don't have that in our country. You know, this is in the South Africa courts. I mean, that's heavy to me. You can go from 15 years to just like what, writing a check?
That's a lot of, I mean, look, in some ways the jury system is crazy because you have 12 people and all you need is to, you know, especially to get not guilty, all you need to find, you know, have one juror. But the other extreme is crazy too, where you just have one person, the judge, and he or she can determine, you know, is it a day, a game, a week?
And wait, it's a continue that same stream of thought, right? That one person in the NFL has been the judge and jury, the commissioner, Roger Goodell, who you can say in some ways now is on trial. There's a lot going on whether or not, you know, the tape was seen by him. Evidently, the AP and an anonymous report, which the owners are sticking to, oh, I'll believe Roger over an anonymous person from the police. They might be covering up. That's what Bashotti was saying last night on CBS. Basically, a female supposedly received the tape and said, I agree, it is horrible. And Roger says no one in the building in the NFL had seen the tape. And then so I guess I ask you two things, right? Number one, if it's proven, because now you've got the FBI, Robert Mueller, doing the supposedly independent study, if it's proven that the tape was in the building and it was not viewed by him, you go back to Bountygate, is he still – I would say based on his statements against the Saints and Sean Payton, he's still responsible and he's negligent and should be found guilty of whatever they're going to do because he should have seen that tape if it was in the building. Ignorance is not an excuse. Right?
Especially a hands-on commissioner like he is, who
seems
to be all in the details and is very much into discipline. I cannot believe that this tape, unless people in the organization hid it from him, but then he's got an organizational issue.
Leadership.
Ray Rice is high
problems,
profile. Right? I mean, any player is high profile when it comes to, you know, being arrested and being on TMZ and whatever. So Roger Goodell needs to see this tape. So maybe there's an employee that, you know, how the politicians, they have this filter, right? So the junior staff make sure that they don't see it, so they have culpable deniability. So maybe something like that's going on. Hard for me to believe. I think he saw it. But if that's
the
case, then
why would he lie, though? We talked about this off air. If he did see it, like, why would he lie? There's no need to protect. Like, what's he protecting? And then on top of it, he said in the CBS interview, Ray, he says, oh, there's ambiguity in terms of what Ray said, right, and with the wife in the meeting. But Ray, Ozzie Newsome said, Ray didn't lie to us. He told us straight up what happened. And witnesses also said that Ray told Roger exactly what happened in the elevator. So now you got an issue with that. This is a complete mess. Who knows when it's going to get solved. This has been one heck of a sports week. And let me tell you, on top of that, with the Atlanta Hawks and Danny Ferry, I got something to hit home where my niece attends Clark University, an all-black college in Atlanta, Georgia. It's down the block from the Georgia Dome. And last week, before the game, with people tailgating and drinking and carrying on, and predominantly the fans that attend the game happen to be Caucasian, probably 85-90%. There were some racial slurs said to my niece, and evidently it's known on the campus that, you know, the fans that go to the Falcons games, the students should sort of, they beef up security, and they should sort of stay away from the Georgia Dome because these people were saying some racial stuff. She was in the car, said, Uncle Eric, I had to, you know, make sure I had my pepper spray with me. That is ridiculous, and Atlanta Falcons need to know what's happening in their parking lots or around their arena that students, anybody, right, forget the fact that it's a racial thing, but students attending a university should feel unsafe because of crazy, drunk, unsavory fans or whatever. I'm hot. It's pissing me off, and that's crazy. It's crazy. And what Danny Ferry said about Luol Deng is just ignorance and ridiculous and crazy, and they both went to the same university.
That's the crazy part, right?
Yeah.
It's not like Danny Ferry you know, because Danny Ferry was a player. So it's not like Danny Ferry grew up in this detached world where he just, I don't know what. But, you know, he was a ball player. He went to Duke. He played in the NBA. He had teammates of all races and colors and whatever
and
growing
religion.
Up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
As a player, as a GM, as a, you know, as an executive. So that's really bad.
Now we got to talk about the new drug situation in NFL. Josh Gordon is now going to be a 10-game suspension, which is what we thought in the beginning it should have been, 8 to 10 games. And I believe Wes Welker is active to play this week. Did they give ruling on that as well?
Oh, I didn't see that. I can check.
Okay,
so,
yeah. Josh Gordon is 10 games. I saw that. Adam Scheffner tweeted it out. I think it's on ESPN, but Shefty said it's 10 games for Josh Gordon, and I believe Wes Welker he could play Sunday. So the NFL right now, Ray, is a mess, but I'll make you laugh. They doubled the ratings last night for week one of Thursday Night Football on CBS from what they did last year at the same time just on NFL Network. So everybody's watching, and, yeah, it hurt me. You know, the day after my birthday, I got to watch my Steelers get punked on the football field 26-6. It was a horrible display. Some of the penalties were bad both ways. The first drive, that wasn't roughing the passer on Ben for the Ravens, and then Troy's hit to me was not an illegal hit for pass interference or, attacking the guy he led with the shoulder. But it doesn't matter. Our secondary, Mike Mitchell, the mistakes, the linebackers blitzing in the same hole, poor tackling. I knew that this whole situation, Ray, would galvanize the Ravens. I thought we could still win. But two veterans that are on that team that I underestimated their influence are Steve Smith and Owen Daniels. One, now they have a real legit two tight end system. And two, replacing Anquan Boldin. And my boy, I got to say, from the Terps, my boy Torrey Smith disappears some games. One game he's the man, the next game he's gone. Steve Smith, Ray, is a legit, he can go slot, he can go deep, he can run everything. And he is a strong-minded and strong veteran leader. And I can't believe the Panthers let him go. Shame on them. And congratulations to the Ravens. I'm just upset.
I got
to
tell you.
I'm upset.
So my takeaways from this game is that your Pittsburgh Steelers are in trouble. You're not winning that division. You're not the second best team. You're the third best team in that division. You're not going to the playoffs. Again, it's only two games, but Cleveland gave you a hard time in the beginning.
And did you see our
Baltimore.
Offensive line? Our offensive line wasn't good either.
Yeah, and you know, you guys have always been historically a running team. The age on defense, it's all catching up.
Well, we got
up.
Some youth. We do have some youth now.
They got to play smart.
They got to play smart.
But
Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are studs. You got to give me that. They're studs.
They are, absolutely. But you need more than that. The AFC North is a really good division now, and you know, Cleveland, even if they are not good on offense, at least they're good on defense. And Baltimore is a really
good
team, and Cincinnati's even better.
They'll be good after week 10, right?
I tell you what, the Baltimore Ravens, though, Owen Daniels, from a fantasy perspective, is killing everybody that picked up Dennis Pitta because they're thinking Dennis Pitta was going to be a top 10 receiver, and Owen Daniels catches the two touchdowns. And to me, the biggest disappointment, well, you know, Pierce did well for himself, you know, after fumbling in week one, he did well for himself in week two. A lot of people, including myself, who picked up Ray Rice on a flyer, rushed to pick up Justin Forsett, who had an okay
decent game. That one big run
game.
Helped him.
But to me, the biggest disappointment is Torrey Smith. I'm about to write him off. He's not a number one receiver. But Steve Smith, is old. I mean,
I can't start him.
One more year.
In fantasy football, he cannot be your 1, 2, or three receiver. If you start three receivers or even two receivers in a flex, I cannot start him anymore. Not with confidence.
No. He's inconsistent to begin with. And then but you can have inconsistency, but your bad games, you got to catch 2, 3, 4 balls. I mean, you can't come out of that with one grab, you know? So Yeah, Torrey Smith is a disappointment. I got to tell you, I'm really, really disappointed. It was his time to shine. They got the two tight ends. They've got the running back by committee. This was his time to step up and do a Keyshawn and basically say, get me the damn ball. And it's not happening.
Okay, two questions about this game, and then we'll move on. I have for you. Number one, I was pretty impressed with the Ravens defense. Matt Elam, Suggs, the guys, Nada with the interception was amazing. Were you pretty impressed with the Ravens defense?
I was. I didn't know what to think of them.
And this is without Webb. The corner, Ladarius Webb, wasn't there.
Yeah. And then they struggled a little bit in week one, but you knew that they would be up for this game. I had no idea they'd blow this out, but I thought this would be a closer game. I thought Baltimore would win, though. Predicted it on our last show. But, yeah, I was impressed with Baltimore for sure.
Okay, and then number two, if you were the Ravens, would you sign Ben Jarvis Green Ellis? Because to be honest with you, I don't really like Forsett or Pierce, and at least Ben Jarvis, I feel like there's not a lot of tread on those tires. He can definitely do goal line touchdowns for you, and I think he could still give you 10 to 15 solid carries a game. Just a thought. I don't know what you think about that, but for
me,
that's a quality running back that's out there.
I like that a lot, actually, because Forsett, there's a reason why he's been a journeyman for 7 years coming out of Cal. He had a good college career, but really never did much outside of special teams in the pros. And Pierce, you know, he was the heir apparent to Ray Rice 2 years ago, and then even last year when Ray Rice was hurt and banged up, couldn't move the chains. What did he run for 3.5 yards a carry? So to me, they don't really have a stud running back, even if you put the two of them together. So more depth at running back, why not? That sounds like a good move to me. I like that. Call up Ozzie and make the deal.
I got to call up Ozzie. No, definitely. All right, so we'll get back to football. We'll sort of wrap up that NFL. We'll update you as the weeks go on with this investigation, you know, Ray Rice, Greg Hardy, all this stuff. We'll talk about, you know, the preview of the games later on the show and the fantasy. I still wonder, with this Danny Ferry taking a leave of absence, I wonder if it's to either prevent getting fired or whatever. Things are messy down in Atlanta right now and the Hawks. But let's talk about this. Just went final, Ray. FIBA World Cup. Serbia beats France 90-85 after France upset the favorite home team, Spain, right? And great game. Saw some of it. Went back and forth. And, you know, our boy from the Nicholas Batum went off for like almost 30. Last I saw, he had 27. But Serbia wins. And Bogdanovic, who's playing with the Suns, was a stud. Now, Serbia on Sunday plays America. The Serbia team, Fran Fraschilla was saying, reminds him of the Greece team that we lost to years ago. I don't think Serbia has enough for America, but Sunday, 3 o'clock Eastern, ESPN2, in between the middle of Sunday NFL, you got to turn the channel and just watch a little bit to see how America does in this World Cup. What do you think about America's chances of bringing home the gold for us?
Well, the odds makers in Vegas before the game had us the U.S. a 25-point favorite against Serbia, and I think 26 against France, something like that. So they're not giving the other team much of a chance to win. Yeah. So look, I think the team in Greece was, I think, the last team when they didn't take it very seriously. And they had that big dude in the middle. What was his name? That big wide body. He was like 6'7", 290, just big fella, just doing damage.
Yeah, I forgot. I know who you're talking about, but he was great.
But I think the U.S. is still hungry. I think the U.S. can be had, though, but I don't know that it's this team, because to me it was only really Spain that could take advantage of the U.S.'s weakness. I think on the wing, the U.S. is fine, and on defense, and so – really only Spain's size could have hurt them. So I think that unless the U.S. beats themselves, like I like the U.S. winning by 15 or 20 on Sunday.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I could see, probably not a 20-30-point win, but I would say anywhere in that 13 to 18 range. Serbia seems to shoot pretty well, but I'm sure U.S. will win. So we move on. Before we get to the baseball, we talked about Oscar. NASCAR start their Sprint Cup Chase with the new format. After the first three races, four drivers will be eliminated, 16 drivers. I'm going to go with Jimmy Johnson. And I got a funny feeling you're going to pick Jeff Gordon to win it, or maybe a Matt Kenseth. But who's your pick? Who's going to come out of this new format the champ in after the 10 races?
Well, you know I can't go. You know I can't go with Jimmy Johnson because he's the easy pick. He's the best driver.
Well, he's going for his seventh, right? And Jeff Gordon's going for his fifth. So it's going to be a battle.
I mean, this would be seventh in 6 years. What is it?
Seventh and
it
9 years.
Would be his seventh, 9 years, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's serious.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, in my heart, I got to root for Jeff Gordon. But if Jeff Gordon doesn't win, I'll throw somebody out there. I'll throw out
Kevin Harvick.
I'll throw out Joey Logano.
Oh.
Just to give the fans something to think about. Joey Logano, the number 22 Ford driver. So
now is he with Team Joe Gibbs or no? I don't remember.
No, he's with Penske.
Okay, he's with Penske. Okay, yeah. It's going to be interesting.
So,
and to remind the listeners, right? Jimmy and Jeff are on the same team. They're on the same team, but they, you know, that doesn't matter when you're going for the cup. You know, you're going for the title, but. It's fascinating.
Right. Hendrick Motorsports. Yeah, Hendrick Motorsports is all that.
And Gibbs got three guys in there. Yeah, Gibbs has got three guys in the final 16. So it's going to be fun and a different format, which should make it kind of exciting for, obviously, the NASCAR fans, but for people who are on the sidelines a little bit like us who, you know, are not, you know, on the every step of the way with NASCAR, I'm a little intrigued. I want to see how it all plays out. You know, so before we get to baseball, you know, we're moving. The show is moving. I got to say, we don't talk about it much, but it could be the end of a series tonight. We got to mention the WNBA finals are going on. The Phoenix Mercury with our girl Tarazi and Brittany Griner are up 2-0. The Phoenix Mercury are up 2-0 on the Chicago Sky with Deladon. Do they go to Chicago and win the series? It's the best out of five. Do they win 3-0?
The wrap.
Or Chicago wins and extend. It's a wrap. I think it's a wrap, too. I think Phoenix is too tough. They're strong, man. I think they sweep Chicago and get a championship, which would be, I believe, their second. They won it three years ago, I believe. Yeah.
The Mercury. Give them the heat. The heat out there in Phoenix.
Yeah, nah, they represent, yo, Phoenix, yo. Phoenix, stand up. Good for them.
The
I think
title of the Phoenix.
And, you know, it's good, right? It's sort of like the Magic Bird thing going on. These are the two big-name players in the draft 2 years ago who went 1-2 in Griner and Deladon. So I think it's good for the game, too. It's exciting, you know, seeing some of the highlights and stuff. I might even tune in, check out some of the game. You know, 8:30? They come on? 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock they come on. So should be fun. Now we got to talk baseball. You mentioned the Chris Davis. We talked about that. How about our boy Stanton? That was brutal. It was 88 miles per hour right to the face, and he wants to come back and play. And this might eliminate him from. Do you think
MVP
this could mess up? Yeah, his National League MVP potential of winning it. I mean, he looked like he was the.
Well,
you know, if you don't go with Kershaw, that it would have to be Stanton.
Yep. It is interesting because there's some people that will never give it to a pitcher because they say the pitcher has his own award, right? He's Cy Young.
Right.
But Clayton Kershaw is having such a good year, dominant year, that unless you're a diehard no pitcher for MVP, you probably were going to vote for Kershaw. So it was Kershaw's to lose. But Stanton was the only real everyday player. Remember we had talked about, you know, is McCutcheon in the race?
Although
but
McCutcheon's
really,
been doing good, and the Pirates right now are in the playoffs. They're in the wild card. Got to give them credit. We got to talk about the standings. And give Miami credit, right? I mean, Miami's only three games behind, three games out of being 500, 71-74. And Stanton has been the hero of that, you know?
No, he's definitely been a hero to most, and he's got, you know, he leads the majors in RBIs and the National League in home runs, or is he 37 homers and 105 RBIs? So this really he has a legitimate – I mean, if it wasn't for this historic year by Clayton Kershaw, this guy would be the shoe-in for MVP. Remember when – what was it, 3 years ago when Josh Hamilton won the MVP and he sat out the last month of the season? He had such a good year that he just won the event,
won the award,
you know, in August. He didn't even play early in September.
Hey, you never know what the voters will do. Maybe Stanton has a shot. But he does want to come back and play. I mean, this guy, he's like, hey, I'll be all right. I'll get an ice pack for a week, and I'll be back. God bless him. I mean, thankfully, he's going to be okay. His father was at the game. Imagine seeing your kid getting hit like that. That's scary.
Yeah.
That is definitely scary. So let's start in the National League. We're right there. Update the wild card. Obviously, the Giants, you know, 81-65. They've got that, I guess what you would say, the fourth seed in terms of the wild cards right now. And then the Pirates are a little bit ahead of the Braves, Ray. 77-69. We got to give the Pittsburgh Pirates a lot of credit. They, you know, Milwaukee's dropped down to third, and the Braves, you know, have had a couple of, you know, bad games, but they're, you know, still in the picture. 75-71. Where do you see, with about 17, 18 games, some teams 16 games left, we're really in a stretch run now. Playoffs begin what, September 30th, I believe. What's going to happen next week?
Oh, speaking of which, did you hear that they're talking about next year that the baseball players might go into November? Lead into November the next year.
I think
year.
It's a mistake because the weather will bite them in the bullet.
You're going to have snow somewhere.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Snow in a World Series game. I think that what we're seeing happen now is basically what's going to happen. So I think Milwaukee is fading, and they've faded out. I think it'll be San Francisco and Pittsburgh over Atlanta. I think Atlanta is too inconsistent. Second half of the year, they've been too inconsistent. They're obviously eight and a half back. They're not going to catch Washington, so their only chance is that second wild card. So I think it'll be Pittsburgh and San Francisco. And the team that should be most disappointed is Milwaukee. They had an unbelievable first half. Look, they're 76-71, so still very impressive. It's just that when you get out to that, when you have the best record in baseball in April and May, and you're thinking, all right, we're shoo-in at least, especially with the expanded playoffs, we're shoo-in for the playoffs.
And at least they've won two in a row, but, I mean, three and seven in their last 10. It's just been a horrific run, you know, month of August and, you know, going into September. It's just been brutal for them. And then let's shoot over to the American League. Orioles
Talk
win today. They beat the Yankees 2-1. You know, Oakland is – are they choking? I mean, Oakland is fading fast. They're, what, 3-7 in their last 10?
They've won the 3-7 in their last 10, but I think it's even worse than that.
Yeah.
I think in their last 24, I think they're 9-15 in their last 24 games or something like that.
They're still a game and a half over Seattle. You know, 10 back in the division, but a game and a half over Seattle. And then
remember
for the other
– They're still in contention with L.A. They're 10 back of the Angels. Now, we predicted that, but I didn't think we predicted that they would fall this far, this fast.
Right, and then you got the Tigers, who Kansas City, give them credit. They've been holding them off, you know, still tied half a game out. But Detroit is 80-66. So, you know, the question is right there. You still got Detroit, Seattle, and Oakland. It's anybody's game right there. I mean, this will literally go down to the last night.
I can still see. I mean, Kansas City's only up half a game. So it's really Kansas City, Detroit, Oakland, and Seattle. So obviously one of those two from the Central is going to get in, and one of those two from the West is probably going to be out. So, I don't know right now. I think it's too close to call. I really don't have a good feel for this. I do ultimately think Detroit's going to win the division. I just think when it comes down to there's five games left, and you can throw out each of those five starters that can be an
Cy Young winner there
for Detroit, I got to believe that in that last week of the season, September, you know, that last rotation, that, and if it's tied, I like Detroit starters. So I still think Detroit's going to take the Central. I don't think Seattle's going to catch Oakland. They might. They're only a game and a half back. But let's say Oakland holds on. So then it comes down to Seattle or Kansas City. So if I had to flip a coin right now, I'd say Kansas City wins. Seattle misses by maybe a game.
Is there any shot? I mean, obviously, the Yankees, to me, needed to sweep the Orioles, but the Blue Jays now have jumped ahead. 76-69, the Yankees are 75-69. You think any shot for the Blue Jays or Yankees to have a miracle run in the next 3 weeks and try to make it the next two and a half
No,
weeks?
It's hard.
Yeah.
You got to jump two teams. So,
and it's like three games, at least
three games.
Solid three and a half games, yeah.
Right. Three games with 17 to play, I don't think so. I think that Toronto's out of the playoffs and the Yankees are out of the playoffs. But we do need to shout out Cleveland because they also have the same record as Toronto. One game or a game and a half better than the Yankees, and nobody's really talking about them.
No, they're still fighting. Hey, look, crazier things have happened. Three games, you know, it seems difficult, but it could happen in, like, a series. You know what
it's
I mean?
Possible. It's possible. But it is possible.
Yeah, so, man.
Like your man Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible.
If nothing else, it is going to be a really, really exciting, stretch run for the pennant races. Really not for the pennant except for Dodgers and Giants, but, well, KC and Detroit. You know, two real solid races there. But the wild card, I mean, give them credit for, you know, having the second wild card. It's it brings a lot of excitement to, you know, still a lot of ballparks. You know, you got at least eight different cities that are going to be like, you know, hey, we still, you know, can make the playoffs. So good for baseball. It's hard, right? Because right now it just seems like people are forgetting baseball and the NFL is just dominating the headlines. Once again, now that, you know, we're into the second week and fantasy. Here's a funny story real quick. With all the stuff that's been going on, the number one story on ESPN.com, I think yesterday that people were looking at, and they might get over a million hits a day on their site. Number two was like, I guess, Ray Rice and all the stuff with Roger. But the number one was top fantasy wide receivers for week two. At over 500,000. I mean, so that kind of sums up everything you really need to know. Do you know what I mean?
NFL. It's all about football. But you know what? We need to flip the script and talk about college just for a quick minute. We have one.
Let's rock to some beats, though. Let's get to the beats, and then let's get into that big game and then maybe one other surprise game with them Longhorns. We'll be right back. Stay in touch.
We're back to talk Saturday Pigskin, otherwise known as NCAA football.
Really, only two good games, you know?
Yeah, this week is a little light. It's a little light, but you know, in the
UCLA,
SEC, there's always
and the major game. I want to ask you, man, could this be another Heisman statement game? I mean, if number six Georgia going to South Carolina, number one Georgia could put their stamp on the conference of the SEC. But I think this, potentially in this game, Todd Gurley early on could be like, you know what? It's been a slow 3 weeks in college football, but going into, like, you know, week four, I want everybody to know I'm the front runner. If he kind of blows past South Carolina and knocks them out of the top 25, I say yes, and I'm going to take Georgia on the road to kind of put it on South Carolina, surprisingly. I got it 30 to I'll say 30 to 20. I was going to say 17, but I'll say 30 to 20, Georgia, and Gurley puts up 130, two touchdowns.
Wow. I think South Carolina is going to do everything they can to stop Gurley, so I think they'll hold him roughly in check, like 80, 90 yards, let's say.
Okay.
And that just means that I think Georgia might have to take it to the air and expose South Carolina's defense. I think South Carolina's gave up, what, 800, almost 840 uh-huh. yards in the first two games.
Yeah,
so
you think it's in Mason's hands for Georgia?
In the air. Yeah, I think, but here's my thing. You know, South Carolina was a top 10 team before the season. I do think they're still a very good team. This is their third straight home game. I just can't see them going 0-2 in the SEC and losing again at home. So despite the fact that Georgia's probably the better team, I think this game being in Columbia at William Bryce Stadium, that the Gamecocks are going to have a little bit of pride, and I think they'll hold off this Georgia team. I think it'll be a shootout, though. I think it'll be 30-27, but I think South Carolina and the old ball coach.
So you believe that Dylan Thompson is – see, he's got to watch the turnovers, but, I mean, I can see what you're saying. For that to happen, he's going to have to throw for three touchdowns and play really big at quarterback. Now, he can do it, right? He's been there. He's a veteran, you know, replacing Connor Shore, who's a backup third string on the Cleveland Browns. Okay, I'm not mad at your pick.
And to offset some of the pressure on him, they need Mike Davis to show up.
Yes.
I think he had a big game. I think he ran for 150 last year against Georgia, and he's gotten off to a slow start. I think that's part of why the pressure has been on Thompson. He's thrown those two touchdowns. But, again, I just can't see the ball coach going 0-2 in the SEC.
Oh, it would make him hot. Right, he would
be
hot. Steve Spurrier would be hot. So the only other game that's, you know, really, really, I mean, we don't have any, you know, crazy ranked matchups, but I think this is interesting. Number 12, UCLA at Texas. This one right here, Ray, this has got a little juice to it. UCLA is 2-0, but it hasn't been that impressive. They struggled to beat Virginia. And UVA's at home again this week against number 21 Louisville, which could be a nice upset. But they struggled against Virginia on the road early on. I think it's 26-20. And then last week they didn't look that good. So I'm actually looking for UCLA to kind of wake up and finally kind of show everybody why people think they're going to be, you know, something impressive this year. Because right now, I don't think they have been, and this is their last sort of kind of test before they go into the, you know, all the Pac-12 schedule. I'll take UCLA. I'm going to take UCLA 27-23 in another close one. I think Texas and obviously, new coach, I think some of the talent, I just don't think Mack Brown recruited the talent that he needs. You know, Pride will get. He'll be able to get new talent in next year and recruiting and more. Charlie Strong. I might say Charlie Pride, but UCLA. I think that it's just a little too much, and they win a tough game against Texas, 27-23.
I think that if this game were in UCLA, it would be
a blowout.
It's in Texas, it may not be a blowout. I still think UCLA wins easily. I think Texas has so many problems on offense that they can't score, and I do think that Brett Hundley and Perkins and Payton, they're going to turn it on. So
they better.
I see UCLA scoring 30 and maybe Texas scoring 20. So I look at it as a 10 spot. I think Texas is having trouble on offense. I think Charlie Strong is a defensive guy. I think he's going to have trouble turning.
They need
his
a real
quarterback.
I don't like this kid at quarterback, the Ash kid. But I do like Gray. I think they can run the ball. So we'll see if UCLA's defense is ready, you know, for that. Because I think that they can pound it a little. We'll see Texas run it a lot. So it should be fun, though.
We'll check it out. That's the late game on Saturday. That's 8:15. So we, you know, go get your popcorn ready. Watch some of that game tomorrow night.
Now look, let's talk what we love to talk, and we're gonna give you, you know, like Ray and Tay. We told you this year we'll be big on fantasy. We'll give you a lot more. So as we preview these games, each game will give you like a fantasy stud or someone to, you know, look for, who will be the best fantasy player. Maybe we'll throw in some sleepers too. One thing that I thought that was fascinating about this week, and we got a bunch of games to go through, but there's, first time ever, there's three matchups of number one quarterbacks in the draft facing each other this week. So we'll talk about it when we, you know, get to each game. But I thought that was kind of fascinating because we've just never seen it, right? You know, and some of the number one picks, you forget that they're number one picks, but they are. So let's start off with the Miami 1-0 versus 1-0. The Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills. This, to me, very interesting game. I think Miami is going to show that their defense can travel. The offensive line with five new starters can travel. And I still don't believe, you know, I was impressed with EJ Manuel, but, you know, still like 100 and something yards. I think they'll have some trouble. And I think Miami can stop the run and Spiller and Jackson to slow them down. And I think the Dolphins go 2-0, win on the road at Buffalo. I'll take them close one. I'll say 23-17, and I'll say not Mike Wallace, but I say Hartline winds up giving you one of those fantasy days, six receptions, a touchdown, and about 95 yards.
Okay. I agree with just about everything you said. Look, the winner of this game, and this tells you what I think about the Jets-Green Bay game, but the winner of this game will be atop the AFC East. Now, granted, it's only two games in, but they'll be 2-0 and atop the AFC East. I think that Miami, while they're not great, I think they do have more juice than Buffalo on offense. I think their defense is pretty good. It may have sustained some injuries, but they're okay. And I think that, you know what, if Sean Moreno can run like he did last week, and you throw in a little Lamar Miller, you take some of the pressure off of Tannehill, you let Mike Wallace and Clay and Hartline do their thing. So
not too bad.
I like that. Yeah, not too bad. So my guy, if I had to take a guy in this game, I go with Mike Wallace. He might be ready to be earning that big contract that he signed before last year. So I'll go with Mike Wallace. Maybe he'll give you five for 99. He won't give you 100.
Ooh,
he'll go five for 99 and a touchdown.
But you know, it's so funny. You're kind of right, and I gotta you know, almost send him a I'm sorry, but you know what? Mike Wallace really was impressive last week in that win over the Patriots. So he's looking like he's ready to play some football finally. Okay, this one's got a matchup of the number ones, the Arizona Cardinals. After a big win on Monday night and coming back, go to the messy Giants. So you got Carson Palmer versus Eli Manning, two number one picks from yesteryear. I think the Giants, this is a horrible game for them for week two, you know, home opener. To me, Ray, wow. The Cardinals looked impressive. And if Ellington is still okay and Dwyer looks good backing them up, and I think they're going to get Fitzgerald the ball more. You know, it took him forever just to throw him the first pass. His father was upset about it, said some comments on Twitter. I got to tell you, I just think the Giants are not ready. As a matter of fact, my fantasy guy, Floyd, is number one out there, I think, now. But I think Fitzgerald has a big game. He gets a touchdown.
I need him. I have him in two leagues.
I know you did, Ray.
This
is a fantasy pick for Ray. But I think also the Cardinals' defense shows improved for fantasy. But I'll take Fitzgerald's six for like 80-something and a touchdown. And I like Arizona on the road to win 24-16 over the messy Giants.
I can't see the Giants going 0-2. I mean, again, I don't think they're much of a team. I think they're 7-9, 8-8 maybe. But the Cardinals flying across the country, playing the Giants, an early game. I think the Giants have a little bit of juice for them. Giants need to figure out that running game. They need to figure out what they're doing. Is Andre Williams the real deal?
Rashard Jennings, I told you he was going to be good. And you're like, no.
I don't like Rashard Jennings, though.
He played good,
though. I don't like Rashard Jennings.
Give him
some
respect.
He's all right. I think they might have a Baltimore Ravens situation where I'm just not a Rashard Jennings fan.
What did you say? He's all right, but he's not real.
Exactly. So okay. I think the pressure will rely on Eli. I think that Eli is going to have to – I think he'll benefit when Beckham's back and fully healthy. But I think in the meantime, Eli will make do, and he'll find my man, Reuben Randle. And that's your guy for your fantasy pickup. A little bit of a sleeper. Some people, you know, drafted him late.
Released him. I just cut him in one league. Patrick Peterson will lock him, man.
Yeah. Look, he's a big, strong receiver. Victor Cruz is going to get a lot of attention. So I think Randle will sneak up on you. Again, I'm not predicting him to go to 150, but I think he'll catch some balls, move the chains from first downs. So I got him. I got him doing, you know, 4 for 70, maybe catch a touchdown. Reuben Randle, that's my guy.
What's the score of the game? You got the Giants winning? What's the score?
Yeah, I got the Giants winning 24-20.
Okay. All right, let's move it along. Atlanta Falcons at the Cincinnati Bengals. I mean, 1-0 versus 1-0. Not too many of these matchups. This is could be a sneaky great game. This might be the best game of the weekend. I just think it's too much. The offensive line, Matthews hurt his ankle. No Sam Baker. I do like the receivers, so I think they'll be able to score. Matt Ryan's not going to get 448. But I think A.J. Green eats up the Falcons secondary. And I think the Bengals win 27-21. And I'll take Dalton and A.J. Green both doing well, but I'll take A.J. Green for a 130 and a touchdown, about 7 receptions.
Yeah, it's hard for me to disagree with anything you said. I think it'll be slightly even more high scoring. I think Ryan and Atlanta's offense is really good, and I think they'll put up 27, but I think that Cincinnati will put up 35. And that means – to me, that Dalton's going to have a big game. He's going to spread it out to all his receivers, including A.J. Green. Gio Bernard might do something out of the backfield. Our boy Hill from LSU might get a little burn. I like Cincinnati big in this game. I mean, big meaning in a high-scoring game, I like Cincinnati.
All right, cool. Now another nice little game here. Detroit Lions. Go. And you got 2 number one picks, Matthew Stafford and killer Cam Newton is back. Both teams 1-0. Detroit Lions at the Carolina Panthers, NFC battle. This could be for tiebreakers later on for playoffs, you know. I really was impressed with Detroit, Ray. I just don't know if they're ready to win on the road against such a tough defensive team. So this is hard to say, but I gotta take them winning a close game, 26-24. They find a way to get some points. Cam comes back, looks healthy, and I actually say Calvin Benjamin steps up to be the fantasy stud in a close game. 5 receptions, a touchdown, maybe 95 yards, but Killer Cam gets the victory over Detroit and Megatron, and Megatron will do his thing too. You know, another 4 receptions, 100-something yards and a touchdown. But Killer Cam gets the W, 26-24.
Okay. I like Detroit in this game. I think that the Panthers are so inept on offense, and now Killer Cam coming back, he's got to reestablish his connection with his best offensive weapon as a rookie. Now, granted, he's a big, strong kid from Florida State, but I think the Lions are too much. I think even though the Panthers – D is good and they can hold the Lions down, I just don't see the Panthers offense being able to do much. So I like Detroit winning this game 21-17. So Detroit does just enough. And I think Matthew Stafford's my guy here. I think he throws for another 350 and 2 touchdowns.
That would be a very big win for the Lions. That right there could be something to propel them to the whole season and maybe even the playoffs. They look really good week one. They look really good. So now we got the Seahawks at the San Diego Chargers. The schedule makers do not like the Chargers. The first two games are very rough. I don't see how the Chargers – they're going to have to just pretend that 0-2 doesn't matter because I think Seattle will beat them, and I think San Diego could still make the playoffs because I think that they're very talented. But there were some issues in that game against Arizona that made me feel like there's no way that they'll be able to beat Seattle if they're struggling. So I like Seattle in this one on the road, winning a bit of a back-and-forth tussle. But I'll take Seattle 27-23, and I think Beast Mode, 111 and a touchdown.
Beast Mode?
Fantasy guy. Seattle, man, it's tough. Russell, last name Wilson. But Beast Mode, I'm going to go with Beast Mode. 27-23 Seahawks. Go Hawks!
So San Diego's always an enigma because they're a good team. They usually play well on offense, and they usually surprise you. I mean, they usually have a half a season where they're really good, and it's, you know, sometimes the first half, and then they fade, and then or
right, right.
The second half.
Just don't know which half, right?
Exactly. I just think I'm coming more and more to your side with Seattle, and they might just be special. They might end up being 14-2, 13-3. They have a tough division, so they have to play the Cardinals and the Niners twice, and they have a tough, you know, first-place schedule. So the game won't be a blowout. If this was in Seattle, maybe it'd be a blowout, but I think Seahawks win this game. Chargers, I'm actually interested to see if Antonio Gates is healthy and can, I mean, he was listed as questionable going into last.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked good. He had that bad drop. But, yeah, he said, wait a minute, Green. I'm not.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's, like, trying to move him to the side. Green did nothing in the game. Gates was the number one target.
And, of course, the ultimate enigma is Ryan Matthews, you know, always waiting for that guy to step up. You know, Phillip Rivers will do his thing.
For
but
fantasy
just,
fans, this is not the week to play Ryan Matthews against the Seahawks defense. I would bench Matthews, yeah.
So, yeah, I think the Seahawks are looking kind of special right now. San Diego can always score, so I think that the Seahawks will have to put up some points here, and I think they will. I think they'll put up 28-24 Chargers, and I think that Seattle, you know who's going to do it? Percy Harvin. I think ultimately he's too fast. He's just too quick. He's too elusive. I think he'll get you 30 or 40 on the ground, and maybe he'll get you, 80 or 90 in a touchdown in the air. But he'll have a long one. He'll break one for 40 or 50. So I like Percy Harvin all around.
Okay. That's a good pick. KC at Denver, the third matchup of number one picks. Yes, folks, Alex Smith was a number one pick back in the day against Peyton Manning. This is
That's
horrible
same,
game.
Same year, Allen, that he was number one, and Aaron
Rodgers.
Oh,
did you hear Ryan Leaf was arrested last week, too? I forgot to talk about that. Yeah, Ryan Leaf is doing like 5 years or something. Oh, what a mess. Yeah, so anyway, KC, they can't handle this. They're going to go 0-2. Dwayne Bowe comes back, has a decent game for fantasy fans. Denver's defense does look better, though. And I think this week it's going to be Demaryius Thomas. He didn't do much on Sunday night. This week, Demaryius Thomas, 6 receptions, a touchdown, maybe over 100 yards. I think Denver smokes him. I'll say 30-13, Denver beats Kansas City.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Denver's going to win big. I got them putting up even more points. I think they're going to win 35-17. I think they're going to play from ahead and maybe give up a little bit in the second half because they'll just be checked out. I'm going to make a homer pick because I have them in my fantasy team. I'm going to say Peyton Manning stretches everybody and throws for 350, but because they're playing from ahead so much, they're going to run and try and save Peyton a little bit. And I think Monty is going to have himself a ball and run 25 times for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. Two of the five touchdowns.
You would be a happy man if that happens. Boy, you'd be a happy man. All right, real quick. We only got a couple minutes left. Before we get to Sunday night, let's throw it in there. All the New York fans want to hear it. Jets at Packers. Jets are 1-0. I think their defense is going to surprise people. But guess what? Aaron Rodgers will throw to the right side of the field this game, Ray. Milner is banged up. Jets secondary banged up. I think the Jets will play the best they possibly can, but it won't be enough. I'd say 28-17, Packers handle the Jets in Green Bay. And the fantasy guy is Aaron Rodgers. 4 touchdowns, 300 yards.
I think the Jets are still trying to figure out on offense. I think the Jets' defense is good, but going up to Green Bay, I think Green Bay put 31 on the Jets, and I think the Jets can only score 13. So I look for a blowout, actually, in Green Bay. I think Green Bay is frustrated how they played. They had 10 days to prepare for the Jets. I think they're just going to take it out on the Jets and win big. And the fantasy player, I got to agree, Aaron Rodgers. And I have him on my fantasy team, but that wasn't a homer pick. That was a legit pick.
Oh, Ray, you're too much. Final game, this one is bad, right? Because like the Chargers, schedule makers do not like the Bears, and they were supposed to win week one. They did not. Week two, Sunday Night Football, NBC, Chicago at San Francisco. I don't like this matchup for the Bears. I really don't. I think they're going to play tough. They might shock everybody and win it, but I just don't see it. I think when it comes down to it, their offense, Jay Cutler will get a pick because he makes bad decisions, sort of like Romo. And I think somehow the Niners edge them out and win 28-27 in a great game. I think it's going to be Frank Gore running it down their throats. But actually, my main man for fantasy, the Bears linebackers are young. Vernon Davis, 7 receptions, 90 yards, and a touchdown. 28-27, Niners beat the Bears.
I like the close game. I like the outcome. I think the Niners also have a lot to prove. They haven't looked so good in preseason. First game of the regular season, they're not looking like the champion team that I think that they are, or they could be, that the fact that they've been the best team in football the last 3 years. I think Colin Kaepernick has a big game combined on the ground. Maybe he throws for 250, but he rushes for another 100 yards. I love the Chicago offense, and I really want to see Jay Cutler, Matt Forte, Alshon Jeffrey, Brandon Marshall, all these guys put it together, and I think they will. But not this week. I think this week is too tough. San Francisco's too tough on D. Even despite the injuries, they're still a good defensive team. I think San Francisco wins 30-24.
And you called it last week, man. Your boy Patrick Willis with the clutch interception against the Cowboys. I think it's very funny that two teams that can go 0-2, the Chargers and the Bears, still could make the playoffs and have very successful seasons. So just a note for the weekend to watch that. But, hey, great show. We'll be back 6 o'clock Monday. This is going to be a great sports weekend. Maybe we could just focus on games and not players
and owners and
general managers acting like idiots off the field, Ray. You know what I mean? We got to stop this, man. Sports is supposed to be fun, not all this violence and ignorance and hatred. I mean, people, stop it.
Stop the madness, man.
You know, let's have fun. And oh man, I'm just excited. And can your Cowboys beat Tennessee?
I think so. I think Tennessee's a good solid middle of the road team. I just think the Cowboys have a lot of pent up frustration and the Cowboys.
Hey, Jake Locker, baby. Jake Locker in the fantasy football. 3 touchdowns and 300 yards. Let's go, Jake Locker.
Hate on Romeo.
All right, man. We're out of here. Great show. Everybody have a great weekend and enjoy some football, baby. That's it. Ray and Thay today.
Have a great sports weekend. We are out.
Talking sports with friends.
I meant what I said. No regret, I meant what I said. No regret, I meant what I said. Your son a major, major. Your skills are crazy minor. Your brain is kinda dull and mine is a full shiner. Yo, this never part-timer. Dominates in completion.